creating engagement in online spaces.
Today, I want to talk about how we create engaging online learning environments. I want to start by talking about technology, about understanding how mobile technology and developments with tablets and desktops have impacted on our day-to-day digital lives. I then want to talk about formal and informal spaces, understanding the difference between the old formal spaces in work environments and informal spaces outside of that, and understanding how this has changed over time. And then the grey space, which is the area that falls between the two, and it's a space that many of us inhabit these days. We want to look at the legal and ethical frameworks around this, understanding how organisations and individuals interact in these spaces. I then want to talk about discerning consumers, how people's expectations of what an experience is going to be like are very high and what that means for us. And finally, I want to get really practical and to talk about what you can do about it.
Our digital lives.
Technology permeates every element of what we do today. We carry around mobile phones, smartphones, tablets and laptops, and we go home to sit in front of digiboxes, digital television and listen to digital radio. There's a great coming together of all of this technology, and it's fundamentally changing the way that we interact with it, what we expect from it. For example, if I'm going to visit somebody in a new town, I don't check the route in advance, I rely on my sat-nav to get me there. I don't need to check where the hotel is, I don't need to check where restaurants are, I do it when I get there. It's changed what I do from having to plan a lot in advance to much more just-in-time kind of information. I'm able to search for things when I need them. What this means is that information has to be presented in a format that suits this just-in-time and reference framework. It can't be overly wordy. We can't put lots of information before we get to the meat of what we're presenting. We have to understand that people are discerning consumers of media. They make rapid decisions as to what's useful information and what isn't. They do that in their personal lives, and increasingly they're going to expect that kind of succinct information in what we present them with for learning at work. Our responsibility is to understand what the best elements are of what's presented in the social sphere and bring those things into the work environment so that when we're presenting learning solutions there, they're going to stand up to the best of what's available in the open market. This is no longer something that's optional. When we're asking people to commit time and emotional effort into learning, we need to make sure that what we're presenting is worthy of their attention. This is part of the contract that we form with the learner. The bar is set very high for what people expect from digital technology. People look for apps that are of a high quality, that have a high star rating, that are highly functional or that are very entertaining. And this high bar is going to apply to what we do as well. If people are used to that standard and we present something which is lower than that standard, then they're just not going to engage with it. It doesn't mean it has to be high budget, but it does mean that it has to have very high production values, has to be very time efficient. It has to be excellent.
Formal and informal spaces.
There used to be a time when the world was a simple place. You got up, you brushed your teeth, you got on the bus and you went to work. And when you were at work, you were surrounded by your work colleagues. You were in an office, you were probably wearing a suit, and the people around you were your work colleagues. You worked on a work laptop and went onto the intranet. These are formal environments and everybody knows how to behave in them. You wouldn't swear, or at least not swear too much, and you'd be careful of what was said because you were aware of your responsibilities as somebody within that work environment. Then you'd go home and you'd go out to the pub and you'd meet up with friends in a social space and you'd have different types of conversations there, tell different jokes, use different language. And those two environments, the formal and the informal, would never really meet, except possibly at the Christmas do or in the canteen at lunchtime. And those were the very places where awkward situations could come about, because people are not quite sure of what the ground rules are, how you're actually supposed to engage with each other when you start to move away from that clear differentiation between formal and informal. Now, this is particularly pertinent as we start to look at the use of online spaces in learning. We need to understand that that old world of formal and informal has effectively gone. We now have people who are using Facebook at work, but they're also doing work emails when they're on holiday. They're using their personal phones to make work calls and send texts to work colleagues, but sometimes they're sending texts to those same people as friends and just differentiating it by whether they put a kiss at the end or not. These barriers have broken down, but organisations and individuals have failed to really take account of it. So where does this leave us? Well, it leaves us in a grey space, where where all of these environments come together. We no longer have the formal and the informal, we just have one blended whole, and that's where we're sitting today.
The grey space.
Today, we're living in this grey space where formal and informal environments come together. And this is the space where online learning communities take place. There's often a lack of clarity as to what kind of ground rules are in effect here. And we need to help people through this. As organisations, we need to understand where we're creating space for conversations to occur. These are unmoderated conversations. These aren't things which are going to be formalised and reviewed and signed off. So there's risk inherent in that. If you give people space in which to experiment, they will experiment. If you give them space to air their views, you can't control what views are aired. Sure, what we can do is we can use moderators to help those conversations to move forward in a structured manner, but we have to understand that the grey space inherently has risks associated with it, but it also has opportunities. Because one of the things that we do know is that people will engage with huge energy in social media spaces. They will put a great deal of themselves into creating these communities, and it's that very energy and vibrancy that we want to capture in our online learning environments. So we have to accept that we're in this grey space. We have to be prepared to try things, to take some risks, and to create spaces for that to occur. But then also what we need to do is start to think about how we can bring structure to it and how we can use that energy and we can focus it on achieving some results, changing some behaviours and knowledge and building skills in a learning context.
Legal and ethical frameworks.
Society works by rules. Sometimes we might choose to transgress those rules, or we might accidentally stray over the borders, but it's important that everybody understands, at heart, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. What this means for organisations is that they need to put some thought into what the legal environment is that they're working in. How are we going to treat views that are expressed within these online learning spaces? How are we going to communicate this feedback to users? We need to create space for people to have discussions, but we need to accept that we have some responsibilities about what happens in this forum. We need to examine issues of trust and integrity as well as identity online, because people behave in fundamentally different ways. Just because I say what I am doesn't mean that is what I am. I can create a persona online and I can project it out, and it doesn't mean that it's true. It's different from what happens in the real world. Whilst we need to look after those people who are less experienced, we also have to ensure that people who are highly experienced online are also going to get what they want out of it. These are people who often will be better at just diving in to find bits of information or responding to posts in a very concise manner. They're often going to be highly time efficient in what they do, and we can't bore them by going too slowly. And this is really where the role of the moderator will come in, is being able to identify who's floating and who's sinking, and understanding how to engage with each of those different people in a different way. We're not creating a big open environment and just leaving everybody to swim. We've got some responsibility for understanding where their native skills lie and how we can help them to develop. The ethical side of this is important because we're asking people to engage in learning activities such as coaching or mentoring, which may require personal disclosure. And they need to know what's happening with that information. It's no longer just a conversation between two individuals. There's a degree of permanence which might not be fully understood. So we need to understand as an organisation how we're dealing with this information, how it can be searched, where it's held, and what that means for individuals. And we have to be sure that people are very clear what that means as well. They especially need to understand how long this information will stay about for.
Discerning consumers.
People are highly discerning consumers of media. The expectations for what we put in front of them are set by what else is in the market. People are used to downloading apps which give them a really good experience. There's very little tolerance for an app that's hard to use. We look at the reviews, we look at the star rating, but we download it and we expect it to go at once. I don't expect it to have a poor graphical design. I don't expect to have to learn to use the interface or to have to read through pages of disclaimer text before I get going. The standard is set by these apps which have really high uptake, where people learn to expect something really good. If we don't adhere to those standards, then people will not engage with what we do. It's no longer enough to think that just because it's low budget and just because it's quick, we can get away with it being rubbish, because we really can't. It's going to be perceived as second rate. It's going to reflect on the organisation, but it's also going to reflect on the quality of that learning experience. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to go to a high budget, because there's plenty of apps and plenty of online resources which are created for next to no money. What it means is that we just have to step back. We have to keep our perspective, and we have to look at things and say, really, fundamentally, is this any good? We need to get into a process of review and piloting, and just think where we can add some value. This isn't just about dropping clip art in. It's about understanding which media people choose to engage with, why they choose to engage with it, and what lessons we can learn from that and bring them into the learning solutions that we're creating. It might be as simple as looking at how people get into that environment. Are we asking them to go through an unnecessarily large number of steps just to get there? Are we trying to use the navigation of the system to put gateways in place which we think are enhancing learning, but actually all they're doing is annoying everybody? You've got to look for the lowest number of clicks to get in there in the first place. You don't want things to get in the way of learning. You don't want people to have to learn to use an interface when what they should be learning is about what you've put within that interface. All of these things contribute to making an engaging experience.
What you can do about it.
Let's look at three practical things that you could do in your organisation in the next couple of months, which would help you to explore how to use online learning spaces. Firstly, create a space for experimentation and to make mistakes. Instead of trying to roll something out across the whole business, identify who your stakeholders are who are likely to have an interest in this. It will be people around technology and people around HR and training and other groups within the business. Bring them together and talk about creating a space where you can make mistakes. You're not going to get it right first time, so why expect that we will? We need to find out how this learning culture is going to work in your organisation. But there are a lot of hurdles to get through before you can make it happen. And it's best to do that in an environment where everybody's comfortable that they're not committing to anything that's going to last forever and where they're willing to make those mistakes. The second thing to do is to think about the role of the moderator. Somebody's going to need to moderate this online environment. It might be you or it might be somebody else. But whoever it is, they need to work with this highly engaged minority who know what they're doing. And they need to work with the disengaged majority who are unsure or unwilling to get into the space. And why start with a difficult subject? Start with something simple, something social. Start with storytelling activities. It's better to create the engagement and then be able to apply it to a hard learning subject rather than to just wade straight in and ask people to engage around that subject. And that brings us onto subject itself. What subjects are you going to cover with these online learning environments? What are you going to debate in there? The subject's very important. It needs to be a subject that inherently suits it. Things around skills development are going to be better than something around compliance. Some things just need to be done in a highly time-efficient and directive manner. And these spaces, these collaborative environments, work better for where you want people to share ideas, to rehearse language, to build those skills. So focus on your subject. So three things to do. Create a space for experimentation and failure. Think about the role of the moderator and what they need to do and how they can develop their skills. And think about the subject that you're covering. And with those three things, you can start to explore how to use online learning environments in your organisation.